Every situation has ears. They understand the very authority you operate with, and they also understand your ignorance. The head is not a different person from the neck, the body. The head is part of the body. You are part of the body of Christ. Now, there are things that may happen at random, but there are principles. Nobody succeeds by a random shot. Okay, you're welcome to the last episode on the series. My name is Till Ferdinand Friday. So, I want to say thank you for checking what we do. And if you've been following through, you know that in the first part, we started introducing this issue of a better prayer experience. And the last one was part two. And we mentioned that this would be the last part. And perhaps this would take a little longer than usual. So, today we'll be considering a few things, but then a recap of the last part. If you recall, we talked about maintaining focus in prayer when you would have to, you know, channel down the mental energy down to the art of the moment, the art of prayer. So then we also talked about the roaming mind, you trying to gather it and put it in one place. And then we talked about praying the will of God, talking about praying amiss, and we just touched those things little here, little there. And then we talked about word-based praying, you know, talking about revelation-driven prayer. You know, we talked about this in the last part. So in this part today, the concluding part, we'll be talking about a few more things. First, we'll be understanding right of access in prayer. Second, we'll be understanding how to address different audiences in prayer. Third, we'll be understanding what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. Number four, we'll be talking about prayer in the Spirit, that's praying in the Spirit. And then number five, we'll be wrapping it up with Spirit-led prayer. But please don't forget, this is not exhaustive. Talking about better prayer experience, there is much more, but I believe that a few of this that we've shared in this three-part series should be quite helpful. So let's go into what we have today. First, you need to understand that prayer is a spiritual act, and that we, being believers, we who believe in Christ, our advantages are in the realm of the Spirit. So if we have our advantages predominantly in the Spirit, it will be a catastrophe for us not to know what to do about our advantages. At the fore, okay, in the book of Genesis, from the beginning, you know, up to chapter 3. Now, we know that Adam fell in the garden. Adam and Eve, they fell in the garden. And then prior to that falling, there was this communion that existed between Adam and God. And then in that communion, God could have access to Adam. Adam could have access to God. God could meet Adam anywhere, anytime, and fellowship with him. The Bible says that he used to come down in the cool of the day to, you know, be with Adam. But then when sin was introduced, God could no longer afford to sustain that relationship. So he had to redefine his relationship with man. So we now find the second stage of relationship where man would need a priest or a prophet. So it ceased to be that man would have direct access to God. So there was an intermediary who was called of God, ordained of God, who would stand between man and God. And then before you know, man would not be able to have a direct access to God. And then that created, you know, man needing a channel to God. So it leads us to what we'll be talking about first, understanding the right of access in Christ. Now, this limitation has been lifted in Christ. In Mark 15 verse 38, he says, "And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to bottom." And Hebrews 10:19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood." So there's a, you know, if you know the description of the tabernacle, you know, there's the holiest of all. Now he says, we have boldness not to enter there in trembling, not to enter there in fear and panic, but we have the boldness in Christ. Now, I don't want to say so many things about that. Just know that there was access created because of Christ, now to God. So for man to reach God now, man didn't have to require the ministry of a prophet or a priest or maybe a king. man could have direct access to God. So you see, you could be an ordinary person or citizen of the land, but you didn't have direct access to God. But now, in this dispensation of grace now, you could be a housemaid, you could be a house servant. You have direct access to God as much as your master does. Okay, so in Christ, there's an access created. So when you are coming to God in prayer, understand that there's an access for you. God does not observe some restrictions for your coming. Now, understand what I mean by that. He does not observe restrictions based on Adam. He doesn't say you don't have the right to come. As long as you believe in Christ, you have the right to enter. That's what the scripture clearly states. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, because ordinarily, if this information is not stated, we would likely want to approach without boldness. So he says, in boldness, we could approach the holiest of all by the blood. Now, the role of the animal blood shed in the Old Testament and all those things, I don't want to see so much about that now, but just understand that in Christ, you have boldness, you have access. So if you go to pray, understand that you went to pray to a God that has attention for you, that was expecting you before you came. You went in to meet a God that was waiting for you. You went in to meet a God that is, you didn't need special introduction to say, okay, I want to introduce this person. He knows you. Okay, so in Christ, you have access to this God. So you no longer need to say, before I pray to God, I have to pray to my priest, my prophet, my king. In the Old Testament, priest, prophet, and kings, these were the three people that had the Spirit of God then. But now you have the same Spirit of God. Okay, I understand that the place of the prophet, the priest, and the king today still operates. God has leaders in church, but I'm trying to talk about access. Okay, so in Christ you have access. And I also want to let you know that when you are coming, He is not indifferent. Now understand, when you come to pray, you are not coming to arouse the interest of an indifferent God. Okay, so you are not coming to turn His attention towards you, as if His attention is on other things and you are an insignificant fellow coming in to disturb His focus on other things. No, His focus is you. That's the truth. Yes, His focus is you. I need you to understand that when you come in to pray, you are coming to pray with the fact that you should have the reality in your mind that He knows you are coming. He is waiting for you. He has made plans for your coming. Okay, so just know that your audience has been secured. So understanding that in Christ you have access is one of things you should know, and it is going to help your prayer experience. Number two, understanding audiences in prayer. Now, when you need to address audiences in prayer. Now, first, understand that Bible describes Jesus as the lion and also describes Him as the lamb. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. It says, He is described as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And if you check Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, He's described as the lamb of God. So, it's the same Jesus, but described as a lion and as a lamb. Towards God, He is not presenting Himself as a lion, but towards creation, He is not a lamb, He is a lion. Now, towards God, humility, submission, surrender, that's what a lamb depicts, okay? But towards creation, He is not submitting to creation. He's not surrendering to creation to say, okay, creation should have its way. I understand He died on the cross. That was divine agenda anyway. So, but I'm trying to tell you that Jesus was the lion. Jesus was the lamb too. But He was a lion to a different face and a lamb to a different face. He was a lamb to the creator. But when it turns to creation, He was not the lamb. He was the lion. So you could see that should He pray towards creation, I'm just trying to give an example, should He pray, He wouldn't say to creation, thy will be done. But if He was to pray to the Father where He poses as a lamb, He would say things like, thy will be done. But to creation, He doesn't negotiate. He decrees, He speaks, He orders, He releases commands, and they come to be. But to God, He will not decree, He will not command, He will not pass orders to God. Rather, He will stay because He is the Lamb of God. Okay? Now, I want to give you a few examples. In the book of Luke 4:39, Jesus was said to be in a situation with the disciples, and he stood up. There was a storm at sea, and he rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea, "Let there be peace." Now, if you check that scripture, it says he rebuked the wind and spoke peace to the sea. Okay, now he did not rebuke the sea, he rebuked the wind that troubled the sea. I want you to understand two different audiences there. They are both creations. Okay, he told the sea, "Let there be peace." Okay, check the book of Acts 16, verse 18, talking about Paul and the possessed damsel. Paul got aggrieved after a few days. The girl was walking around him, making noise. The Bible says that he turned, looking at her, he rebuked the spirit. He did not rebuke her. Now, I'm sure you see there are so many examples of such in scripture. Now, if you check Jesus at Lazarus' tomb, he said something. He stood there. People were there. He talked to the Father. Say, "I know you hear me at all times." Now, I'm just saying this in, so for the sake of those people that are here, so that they will know that you sent me. Then he addressed Lazarus. "Lazarus, come forth." Now, I need you to understand, he did not command God, but he commanded Lazarus. There was a communication when he was facing the Creator. There was a different communication when he's facing creation. Now, if you also check that Jesus was moving with his disciples, and then he saw a fig tree and spoke to the fig tree, and he died the next day. The Bible is full of examples where you would see that a communication was based on the audience. Now, it will not be appropriate for you to be having a situation. For instance, you have a slight health challenge, and you will be praying things like, "Father, I command my health to be released." Who are you commanding? Now, these things may sound nominal because we are used to them every day, but we don't know how these things stand in the way when it comes to getting results. Now, when it comes to things like sicknesses, like I said in the previous part two, I told you there are promises, provisions, and prophecies. Healing is not a promise. Healing is a provision in Christ. And when it has to do with provision, what you do is enforce scriptures and claim your right. Now, you are not forcing God to release your healing. No, there's a thief that tampered with your healing, that tampered with your health. You command the thief, that's the devil. When you turn to God, you say, "Father, thank you for providing health for me. Thank you for providing health for me in Christ. Thank you for the rights I have to this. You know, thank you for this and that." Then you turn and say, "I command you, devil, get your hands off my health. I rebuke you over my finances." You see, you know what to communicate to the right audience per time to get the result. The same principle applies when you need to address situation. Jesus addressed the situation on the sea. Maybe you're in a situation that is difficult for you, about facing a court order. You know, there are situations, maybe a divorce or something. You don't know what to, you can't wrap your brain around what to do. You go somewhere in your prayer place. Yes, if you want to cry, go ahead and do so. But I tell you something, prayer is not by crying. So when you gather yourself back, look at the situation and know that there's an engineer behind it. Rebuke the engineer and command the situation to align to your desire. You know, Jesus rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea to be calm. And the Bible said everything obeyed. Now, I need you to understand that every situation has ears. They understand the very authority you operate with, and they also understand your ignorance. You can be full of the right words, the words of authority, but you don't have a full understanding of authority. It will be a disadvantage to you. Okay, so that number three to getting a better prayer experience is praying in the name of Jesus. Now, you see, if there was a president of a country and the president had a VP, a vice president, and then the president delegates the vice president to represent him in another country or a situation, the vice president will be quoted in that situation as the president. Say, "The president, represented by the vice president, said this. He is going not in his name." Okay, let's say Mr. A is the president, Mr. B is the vice president. Mr. B is representing Mr. A, not as Mr. A's organic, when I mean organic, identity without the office. Okay, he's not representing the organic identity, he's representing the executive identity. That's where the authority is. The authority is not on you because you are Mr. A, but because Mr. A is occupying the office of the president. So the authority is in the office. Now the authority is in the office of the Christ. Now there's a name in that office, for that office. We call it the name of, it's called the president. Now Jesus is the name. Are you getting me now? The Bible says that he has been exalted above every name. Now your name may be Jude. Your name may be Peter. Your name may be Agatha. Your name may be Mary. You see, he gives you the right to pray to the Father, not as Jude, Peter, Agatha, or Mary. Now, I need you to understand it. It may sound off because perhaps you are used to something else, but that's the truth. He gives you the authority to stand before the Father in his name, to stand as Jesus legally. Now, it doesn't sound like what you probably are used to, but that's what it means to pray in my name. Use my name to put out a petition, to put out a request to the Father. So the Father is not going to answer you because your name is Mary. He's not going to answer you because your name is Agatha or because your name is whatsoever. But because it comes under a seal, a sealed name, a name the Father acknowledges, that heaven acknowledges, that earth acknowledges, even hell acknowledges. That is the name Jesus. But you know, if you are not full of that awareness, you will pray and say in Jesus' name because it sounds nominal to end spiritual desires and expression of desires with that word, and we call it prayer. You finish, you say, I desire a cup of coffee. Father, I need a cup of coffee in Jesus' name. You know, you just end it with in Jesus' name. By default, anyone around will say amen because you felt wherever you hear in Jesus' name, the next thing should be to say amen. But you don't understand. You are stepping aside. Your authority, your field, your lack of worthiness stands aside. That's why you stand in the righteousness of Christ, not in your righteousness. So when you are not conscious of these things, you will pray, but the law of the Spirit will limit you because you are not aware. You are standing there aware that you are not worthy. You're standing there aware that your name is Mary. You're not even aware that Jesus gave you the right to use his name. You just felt that's the normal way to end wishes in prayer. You call it prayer, but it's expression of wishes sometimes. Sorry, it may not sound good, but that's what it is. It's like saying, Father, I need this. I hope you know God is not a father to monkeys. He's not a father to goats and zebras. He's a father to humans who have received Christ. If Christ is the head is not a different person from the neck, the body. The head is part of the body. You are part of the body of Christ. I needed to understand that when you are asking, if the hand is requesting something, is the body that is requesting. If the head is requesting something, is the body that is requesting. So you are not doing something illegal. You are doing the right thing. But there's one thing to it. Actually, I have a different recording that I call Praying in the Name of Jesus. That was like 2 years ago, but I don't even know. So that's why I explained this some more. Now, but I need you to understand that if you do not understand that prayer with the identity, with the authority, with the person, with the righteousness of Christ is what Christ has given you the privilege of doing, then you will not get the best of it. You wonder why some people pray for 2 days, one day, and they get results. You've prayed for 2 years and you have not gotten results. Now, there are things that may happen at random, but there are principles. Nobody succeeds by random shots. The people who walk by spiritual principles get the result. I need you to know that in Christ, we have right to make requests in his name. What does it mean to pray? Prayer is not expression of just desires. It's communication. It's a request. Prayer is not begging, you know. It's not begging, no. Prayer is request. It's communication, okay? It's to ask. It's to make demands. It's to make a request. So I want you to understand that in Christ, we have rights to make demands, to make requests, to ask for things, and we have the right to expect results if we understand what it means to be in Christ. Now that's an entirely different talk on its own. In Christ reality. So if you really understand what it means to be in Christ, you pray from in Christ, not in your community, not from your who you are, not from your history, not from your failure, not from your religious piety, but in Christ. If you can understand this, there's no place you rebuke a demon, they will ask you, what are you saying? They know what you are saying. There's no place you speak to a situation and it wants to know, do you really understand what you're saying? They know you know. Because when you know a thing, spiritually, it's clear you know that thing. So I want you to understand that in Christ, the advantage, the possibility to channel the divine forces of heaven in the realm of creation exists only in Christ. And God has given us the grace to partake of this. He has brought man into this in Christ, not outside Christ. So it's an advantage in prayer. That's if you understand this, you understand what it means to stay and call upon the name of the Lord over a situation and tell the situation what you want. There's no demon in hell that will say, I don't know who is Jesus. Your name may be John. The demon may say, I don't know you. But they know Jesus. And you're not coming as John. You are coming in the identity because you are one with him. He's the head. You are the body. You need to understand these things. That's true. It doesn't sound too good to be true. That's a reality. Okay? This consciousness chokes the fear for witchcraft, occultism, and all these things around. Because you are not on your own. But if you are too conscious of the fact that you feel you're on your own, creation will honor that disposition. But when you are consciously aware that you are not on your own, you are on the account of Christ, creation will be compelled to respect that disposition. The second to the last, praying in the spirit. Okay, we talk about praying in tongues. You know, the Bible says that he that prays in an unknown tongue, you know, edified himself. He's not actually praying to the benefit of the church. It's prophecy that is benefiting the church. Okay, so, and to a large extent, for you to prophesy effectively, you have to build yourself first. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:2-4. You know, prayer, actually praying in tongues, actually strengthens you. It strengthens your spiritual man. It sharpens your discernment. It helps you make rightful judgment. You know, it helps your decision making. You may not even be certain that your decision is so accurate until time passes. You look back and discover that for the period you are given to spiritual praying, praying in tongues a lot, you find out that most of your decisions were minimal in error, you know, than when you're just being humanly logical. Now, I'm not disputing the place for being judgmental to assess and assay situations and then judge aright. But you see, when you are given, if your root is in the spirit, even your judgment will be done with a deeper wisdom than books can give. Okay, so now praying in the spirit helps you when you want to pray. The Bible says that we do not know what we ought to pray for as we ought to. Now the truth is that we want to pray for something. We don't even know what that something is, and we don't even know how to pray for that something. So that is double layered confusion. Romans 8:26. Okay, so we don't even know what to pray for, but and we don't know how to go about it. So this is something that is an issue. So he said, but the Spirit comes to our aid in this dilemma. He calls it an infirmity. In this confusion, the Spirit steps in to help us. And that's what we pray and pray. Apart from charging ourselves, praying in tongues helps us pray along the will of the Father. Okay, it helps you build faith in God. It's easier for you to believe what is spoken, a prophetic word or anything. It's easier for you to believe it when your spirit is charged by the Spirit. Now, there's something else the praying in tongues does. You know, somebody may say, in my family, we have a history of anger, we have a history of lust, we have a history of all those behavioral vices. Now, you find that somebody will say, this is something that runs in our family. But let me tell you something. John said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one that is mightier than I cometh, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm talking about Luke 3:16-17. Okay, he said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor and will gather the wheat into his garner. But he says, but the chaff he will burn with fire. Which I want you to understand that the chaff did not come from an external material. The chaff came originally with the wheat. He says, but when he has finished threshing you, he will separate the wheat from the chaff, and he will destroy the chaff. Now, you may claim that anger came with you from your mother's umbilical cord. No problem. When you're exposed to the experience of praying in tongues, you really understand what it means to pray in the spirit. I know so much of meditative praying happens around here. If you really understand meditating on scriptures and praying in tongues, this will separate that thing that came with you from your mother's womb and destroy it. And you actually reflect what it means to be a transformed soul. That's what we're talking about, praying in the spirit. So before I shut down, now spirit-led praying, quickly. Spirit-led praying is to actually be led by the Spirit to pray. Now, you may not necessarily pray in tongues, but you know, sometimes you have something you want to pray for. But when you go to your place of prayer, find yourself dwelling on praying for another thing you never planned to pray. Perhaps an intercession for someone else, or perhaps for a situation that you never really intended to even pray for, or to pray for so long. You find out that the burden begins to build. You want to leave it and pray for something, but the spirit is pinning you down, still on that. Now, these things help you develop, get better prayer experience when you yield to that wooing. The spirit is wooing you, drawing you deeper to focus on a particular aspect of praying. Okay, so it helps you develop intercessory discipline and a death to self. Okay, so he says, First Samuel chapter 12, verse 23 says, Prophet Samuel says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and by in season to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way." Now, these people had messed up. He was not happy with them, but he said, "I will still play my role as the prophet of the land." You pray contrary to how you feel at the moment. You know, Matthew 16 says, "Thy will be done in the earth as it is done in heaven." Now, when you come to this place where you have what to pray for, but when he gives you what to pray for, you leave yours and focus on it. It boosts your prayer experience. Now, I want to stop here today because I've taken so much time. So much time. I never planned to take this, but I'm not surprised because I had 5 things to run through. Because I want to wrap up this series today. I want to say thank you for following through. If you missed any of them, go and check part 1, part 2, and this is the part 3. And I believe that if you will be able to apply these things, your spirit man, your spiritual life, your prayer life should experience a boost. Understand that prayer is an art, a spiritual one, not a religious one. When I mean an art, there's a how to. That's what I mean. There's a how not to. Okay, so this series is to help you on the how to. Okay, on the art, developing the art of prayer. So that's why we call it towards a better prayer experience. So I believe that if you follow these things shared, you should find yourself in a better prayer position. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, just go to Facebook, check Lightbearers Gospel. Or you type facebook.com/endtimequest. And until I come your way next time, next week, my name is Ferdinand. Stay blessed. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
Light bearers, kindle the flame, stay aflame.